Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of A Quick Pipe. Now, chaps, something amazing has happened. Something extraordinary has happened over at the BBC website. The BBC website has admitted that our IQ is going down, that we are becoming less intelligent. I mean, wow. I mean, a breakthrough moment, no? Well, no, not really, because this has overpowered the mind of the BBC. This has sent the BBC a bit mad. So somehow they've admitted it, and they've decided to deal with it by presenting a load of pseudoscience and just total nonsense, which implies that it somehow doesn't matter and it's not important. And not only that, but even in the process of admitting it, they fundamentally misunderstood the science and misled the viewer. So something that could have been a breakthrough moment, where the BBC admits perhaps one of the most important things that's happening in the world at the moment, which is the decline of IQ for genetic reasons in native Western populations, has just been sort of overwhelmed with nonsense and overwhelmed with sort of positive thinking that's sort of painted and glossed up in the language of science and really with just almost pseudo-religious nonsense.
Since the Second World War, our IQ scores were increasing. With every generation, there was a gradual increase in our intelligence. But for those born in the 1970s, it seemed we reached a peak of our IQ, and we seem to have been in steady decline since then.
Oh dear. So what it's done immediately is it's misunderstood the nature of the Flynn effect. The Flynn effect is that IQ scores have been going up since World War II or before, but they have been going up on the least G-loaded components of the IQ test, i.e. they have been going up on the components of the IQ test that are the least actually associated with intelligence. So Flynn himself conceded intelligence is not going up, and the Flynn effect does not mean that intelligence is going up. It means IQ scores are going up. The IQ instrument, the IQ, is an imperfect measurer of intelligence, so it's perfectly conceivable that intelligence, actual raw intelligence, thinking ability to solve problems, could be going down, but IQ scores could be going up if there was some intelligence sub-ability that was massively increasing very quickly across time, such that it overwhelmed on the IQ test everything else that was happening and created the illusion that intelligence was going up. So that's mistake one. They have asserted that the Flynn effect implies that IQ is going up and therefore intelligence is going up. No, no, no. So immediately the listener or the viewer has been misled. It then said, and I found this amazing, it then said since in the 1970s it reached a peak and has been steadily in decline. Now that's true. From the data that we have from Finland in particular, it indicates that the peak was reached by those in terms of IQ born in the late 70s. And since then, there has been a decline. There's no citation for this, of course. That would be too helpful and useful. But it is true that IQ is in decline. Now, what they would therefore presumably be implying is that intelligence is in decline. Again, that's not necessarily so. You have to go into it. Is the decline on G? There's some evidence that that's the case, yes, but they haven't looked into that, of course. They've just assumed that IQ is the same thing as intelligence because, oh God, I don't know why. But then we move on to the really extraordinary stuff. The presenter, some woman called Dr. Hannah Critchlow, who's pretty and has therefore got a job presenting for the BBC, argues that, well, it's not actually individual IQ that matters, so don't worry, IQ is going down, and intelligence is therefore going down, but let's just gloss over that. That doesn't matter, that's not important. Who cares about that? That's irrelevant. So in a sense, why have they even told us this? It's as though they're preempting a question. They're preempting a question, the question being, oh, can we reach utopia? Can we really reach utopia because IQ is going down? Is there going to be a problem? They're preempting that question by saying, yes, IQ is going down, but it doesn't matter, chaps. It's not important. It's irrelevant. And in fact, forget about it. But let's just segue off into this blue skies thinking. And the blue skies thinking is as follows. Apparently, what's really important is collective intelligence, how groups of people work together to solve problems, the so-called C factor, which I've never heard of. I've heard of the G factor, but I've never heard of the C factor. But anyway, the C factor, collective intelligence. And here we just go into pseudoscience. From what I can work out, it's just research based on mice and research based on mice from which they've extrapolated God knows what. Apparently, we can make our brain waves go in step. We can synchronize, and how well a group synchronizes indicates how well that group will work together, and how well a group synchronizes elevates brain health and particularly puts off dementia. Right, well, these are quite separate things. Hang on a bit. Let's break these down. How well a group synchronises, how well people synchronise, apparently with their brainwaves synchronising, may indicate how well they will cooperate, but that is not the same thing as how well they will solve cognitive problems. They could cooperate very well and solve the problem very badly. You're conflating together intelligence and personality traits here. So that's insane. So let's put that aside. As for the issue of dementia and brain health, well, it may well be that overall brain health correlates with being, low in mutational load, basically, and therefore highly pro-social and good at cooperating, and therefore people that are good at cooperating are less likely to have dementia. Or that people that are good at cooperating are less likely to be lonely, and that loneliness militates in favour of dementia. There's no way you can go from saying what they just said about intelligence to implying that intelligence itself is what's going on when people are cooperating together, and that this cooperation reduces dementia. That doesn't follow at all. So we really are in the world of just almost religious magical thinking here. Then there's sort of images of climate change and stuff like that, and it says, oh well, what we need to do, we need all our brains on the deck of the metaphorical boat of life. We need all our brains up there, it says. And it says that it's not IQ itself of a group which causes the group to do well in solving problems. It's the gender ratio. And apparently the more women there are in a group, the more likely they are to solve problems. Right. No. No evidence is cited for this, and I've seen no evidence for it. If you look at Hayner Rindemann's research on cognitive capital, the biggest predictor of a group of people, a group of chaps that get together, or a group of women that get together, or anyone that gets together, solving a problem is going to be, one, their IQ, and two, the nature of their cognitive elite, i.e. the people that among that group who are highly intelligent, who are basically going to take over the group, whatever group of people it is, it could be a group of sailors on a ship, take over that group, and solve their problems for them. The idea that it's to do with a gender, they've cited no evidence, and they give me no evidence, I find no evidence that it's to do with a gender ratio, whether more men or more women. Gender's nothing to do with it. It's to do with the intelligence of the group of people that you're talking about. And then it says that apparently more females, the problems are better solved. Why is this the case? Why are women better at solving problems? Because they're more cooperative than men. Well, that's true. Women are more cooperative than men. There's no doubt about that. But this is apparently due to cultural stereotypes.
Well, the number one factor that can predict how well a group will solve a puzzle isn't the individual IQ members of that group, it's actually gender ratio. So the higher the number of females in a group, generally speaking, the better that group will be able to harness that true cognitive capacity that's available to them.
So we have total environmental determinism here. No scientist would argue that. No scientist on earth would argue that the reason why women are more cooperative than men, women are more agreeable than men, women are more conscientious than men, women are more empathetic than men, is because of cultural stereotypes. No, the cultural stereotypes exist because of the facts that have led to those stereotypes, because as Lee Jussim's research indicates on stereotypes, stereotypes are broadly right. Women are more cooperative than men. Women are more agreeable. They are more empathetic than men. There may well be incels in the comments that will say, oh, no, they're not. They are. And this just comes back again and again and again. And they are for clear, innate evolutionary reasons, which I've looked at before on this channel. So that's just nonsense. Again, I don't know why they said that. And then from there, we have just this utopian thinking, which is, OK, how we can solve all our problems is just by sitting down and cooperating and teaching girls and boys to be more cooperative. Again, this is very little to do with intelligence, isn't it? But even so. And then we go on to this idea. I don't know where they're getting this from, something to do with mice, that apparently you can learn something and you can work out what the brain waves are that have caused you to learn it and how they do something to the brain. And then you can transfer that learning over to someone else's brain by somehow stimulating the brain electrically in the same way. I don't know what on earth the person meant. And then we get to this idea that apparently through this process, you could share memories. You could implant in someone else's head via brain telepathy or something, your memories.
Now we're able to take a donor brain, so a donor that's learnt something, a particular skill, and take the electrical signature, the electrical oscillations of that learnt skill, and imprint it onto a recipient's brain so that that recipient can learn that skill that bit quicker. Its brain has been electrically primed with that memory. Now, those studies actually took place in rodents rather than humans, but there's been some amazing breakthroughs in terms of humans being able to communicate directly with each other, just picking up electrical signals through their brain and then transferring it via magnetic signals into a donor brain so that they can communicate with each other.
I don't know how they've come to this conclusion. I don't know how Dr. Hannah Critchlow has come to this conclusion that you can do that. But secondly, even if you could, memory is highly, highly fallible. That's why we need historians. People create false memories. People manipulate their own memories to give themselves a better sense of self and to cope better across time. So the idea that she implies, how will trials go in the future if we can share memories? But memory is fallible. That's the nature of memory. It's evolutionarily adaptive often to lie to yourself and to create memories and to manipulate memories such that they're not what actually happened. So I don't know how that follows. So you have an unbelievable... let's just go through this in summary. You have a complete misunderstanding of the Flynn effect. You have a complete misunderstanding of the negative Flynn effect. You have a complete misunderstanding of the nature of intelligence. You have a complete misunderstanding of how intelligence relates to cooperation. You have a complete misunderstanding of the dynamics of sex differences and what causes them. You have a complete misunderstanding of the difference between intelligence and personality, and you have this pseudoscientific, I hate to use the word, but it's just nonsense about how we can transfer brain waves between each other. I don't know where they're getting this from. And then you have a complete misunderstanding of the nature of memory, which is in many ways the most egregious thing. So, the BBC's gone mad. They've gone mad, but at least they're admitting, and that's one good thing, that we are getting less intelligent.